Welcome back to Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Larkin Rose. Political rhetoric almost always consists of 100% spin and propaganda and 0% actual truth. With maybe one exception, politicians don't say what they mean. If they did, no one would vote for them. In fact, everyone would avoid them like the plague because they'd be recognized as narcissistic, power-happy control freaks. So they bury the substance of their agenda under layers and layers of euphemisms, distractions, emotionalism, propaganda, and bald-faced lies. In short, when it comes to anything political, the only discussion you'll hear in the mainstream news, or from any politician of any political party, is basically a giant pile of horse poo, very nicely decorated and covered up with beautiful icing. Sorry for this slightly rude analogy, but let me give you an example of what I mean. You might hear a politician saying something like, "By working together, with all of us contributing our fair share, we can make this nation great." Well, it sounds good. It sounds like it's about togetherness and cooperation and being productive and all that good stuff. Trouble is, none of that has anything to do with what the politician is actually talking about. He's talking in a completely disingenuous way about his political agenda. Now, I have to point out something here that's actually pretty obvious, but it hardly ever gets mentioned about political agendas and government. What does government do? It issues and enforces laws. That's it. It tells you what to do, and it punishes you if you disobey. The end. That's politics. That's all politics is. It's all it can ever be. Now, no politician's going to describe it that way, nor does anyone in the mainstream media. And most people have never thought about it that way. But it takes about 1 minute to prove that this is the case. All legislation, no matter how flowery the wording, no matter how it's pitched, no matter how complicated the terminology, constitutes a command backed by a threat. Every so-called tax is, "Give us money or we'll hurt you." Every legal prohibition is, "Do this or we'll hurt you." Don't do this or we'll hurt you. Every legal requirement is, "Do this or we'll hurt you." That's all the law is and all it can ever be. The commands can get insanely complicated. Obey these 10,000 pages of regulations or we'll hurt you. But the template is always the same. Obey or we hurt you. If you doubt this, try writing a law yourself. Try making one up yourself that isn't a command backed by a threat. What would it even look like? Section 1, "Come on, guys, be nice to each other." That's not what the law is. Now, occasionally commands and threats are justified. If some guy breaks into your house at night, you might say, "Get out or I'll shoot you." A command and a threat. And if you ask me, you'd be perfectly justified in doing so. Most of the time, however, bossing people around and threatening them is not a nice thing to do. When it is justified, people don't bother hiding it under euphemisms and pleasantries. To the guy breaking into your house, you might yell, "Get out or I'll kill you." But you probably won't say, "We're only asking that each of us do the right thing by moving to the appropriate premises, and to that end, a program of mandatory relocation may be implemented by way of various incentives." But that is how almost all political agendas are twisted and mangled and misrepresented. They're commands and threats, and they hide it under this flowery garbage. So here's what I want you to do. Consider a few different government programs, and for each one that you support, instead of giving the prettied up propaganda version, I want you to bluntly state the literal reality of what that quote-unquote public policy actually means, what it actually entails. For example, when speaking of taxation, the politicians will say, "All of us are asked to contribute our fair share to cover the costs of the nation." sounds sort of nice, except that, one, no one is being asked anything. They're being told, you'll do this or we hurt you. Two, they aren't contributions. You don't have a choice. It's a command. It's not charity. Three, fairness doesn't have anything to do with it. And four, the money doesn't go to the nation. In other words, the politician version is a complete lie from beginning to end. When translated into reality, the message sounds more like this. We, the politicians, demand money from you, and our enforcers will hurt you if you don't pay up. Then we will decide how to spend the money we took from you. That's the actual truth. Now, you might not like to hear it described that way, but you know that every bit of that is absolutely accurate. That's what really happens. So, that's all I'm asking now. Let's run down a list of political programs, and for the ones you support, see if you can bluntly state the reality of what you advocate. If you like the war on drugs, then say, if anyone gets caught possessing a mind-altering substance not approved by the politicians, because this doesn't include beer, I want armed people to invade that person's home, forcibly capture him, and take him away from his friends and family and put him in a cage for a few years. Now, if you can say that and still support it, we'll address that later. Right now, I just want to see how comfortable you are when you bluntly describe the political agenda you support. Here's another example. If you support government welfare, say this. I want millions of people forced to hand over money they have earned under the threat of being imprisoned if they don't, so some of it can be given to the needy. Actually, let's make this more personal and less abstract. If you support government welfare, say this to me. Larkin, I think that you should be forced, by way of the threat of being caged, to hand over a cut of what you earn to the politicians so they can give some of it to the poor. Now, oddly, though tens of millions of people advocate exactly that by how they vote, I've never met anyone who can comfortably and happily say that to my face. Why not? Another example, if you're for gun control, say, Larkin, I want the politicians to tell you that you can't have a gun, and that if you get caught with one, I want you to be taken captive, dragged away from your family, and caged for a few years. And in case you think I'm scary or dangerous or something, let's change the target of the message. So once again, gun control advocates, say this. Hey, little old lady who lives in a bad part of town and who keeps an old revolver for protection, I want you to be taken hostage at gunpoint and put in a cage. Are there any gun control proponents out there who feel comfortable in saying that? Because that is the literal reality of what quote-unquote gun control is. Ironically, it's pretty easy to prove that gun control is gun violence, because it is enforced by quote-unquote law enforcers with guns, and they use those guns to threaten people and arrest people and cage people who get caught having quote-unquote illegal weapons. So if you're for gun control, you are for gun violence, because they're the same thing. Anyway, the list of things I could cover goes on and on and on. And I dare you to do a little exercise. Make a list of the political programs you support, and then write down, literally describe, the command and the threat involved with each one. Because that's all laws are. Put it simply and literally, and see if your own conscience and your own moral code makes you cringe at what you've written. Now, we're just about out of time for tonight. But I want to close by bluntly describing my political position, or rather my anti-political position, describing what I advocate in simple, literal terms. If you try to attack or rob or defraud anyone, then I support the use of whatever level of violence it takes to stop you from harming others. Other than that, I don't want any force to be used against you. Not by me, not by my neighbors, not by people in other countries, not by those calling themselves government, not by the people who wear the label law enforcement, not by anyone. If you're not trying to rob or hurt anyone else, I want you to be totally and completely free, even if I don't like what you do with that freedom, even if I don't approve of your choices or your behavior. Now, what I ask after saying that is, will you do the same for me? Your choices are, no, I won't. I'm not going to let you be free, Larkin. I'm going to boss you around and force you to pay for things I want and you don't. Or you can say yes, but if you say yes, understand what that entails. No more voting. No more politics. No more asking government to do anything that you don't have the right to do. Can you do that? Or would you rather betray your own moral code? Heck with that. I like using government to control people. Choice is yours. Now, we're just about out of time. I command you to go buy and read my new book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, or I will hurt you. Okay, just kidding. I won't really. But I would urge you to voluntarily get the book, which you can get at Amazon.com, to see if you have been duped into cheering for the bad guys for most of your life. Till next time, this is Larkin Rose, inviting you to live life outside the cage.